from Charles Harmer's home called Cherry Street. I do not remember the names of the people who lived on Cherry Street. But west of the Harmer house was one owned by a family named Novitsky. N-O-V-I-T-S-K-I. I believe that's the spelling. Our place consisted of 2.5 acres. There was a number of apple trees, pear trees, plum trees, good-sized pasture land, 1/2 acre of pasture land. When I was small, we owned a cow.
One cow?
One cow, one or two pigs, some chickens, and later a pony, in a pony cart.
Did you ever ride in a pony cart?
I rode in it, yes, but I never could drive it because this pony was a very high strung little mare.
Was a pony cart something just for the fun of it, or did your folks really use it for transportation?
You use it for transportation. It was built. Apparently of wicker, heavy, heavy wicker. And it was in the form of a square. And the driver rode at the front, and the passengers could ride at the side and the back. It had seats all around the four sides, as I remember.
Was there a covering over the top?
No covering over the top, no.
So it would be a good weather vehicle.
Pardon?
It would be for good weather, not rain or winter.
I don't know. I suppose we took the rain in our stride. Probably never drove it in the winter. See, this is all very hazy in my mind.
Do you remember if your parents put the pony in what they called horse barns?
Had a large horse barn. That's where we put our cow, too.
Well, I mean when you went to downtown Medina shopping.
I don't think we did. I think we just went up to town and came back. I have no recollection of it. I don't know how we went to church.
Mm-hmm. You don't remember that?
I don't know what happened to the pony while we were in church.
I guess they called them drive barns rather than horse barns. And there were a number of drive barns around Medina.
Yes, yes. Then there was such a thing in those days as a livery. You've heard of the livery stable.
Yes.
That's where they rented the cars, the
horses?
Animals.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The horses.
Well, tell us more about the English settlement.
Well, there isn't too much that I can tell you except that they apparently came all about the same time and just settled in there, and then they built a little meeting house. I said at one time that they had a small church, but in speaking to Mr. Bacon, he calls it a meeting house. But that was burned before I was born, and the house owned by a Harmer family was built on the foundation of that little meeting house.
As a child living in the English settlement, Mrs. Cox, did you feel any discrimination against you?
I think I felt a bit of discrimination. I think people in that neighborhood, they did resent my father and mother. They resented them because apparently my father was an excellent workman. He cut the stone, and we lived in winter off the estate, as you call it, because we had our cow, we had our pig, we had our chickens, and plenty of fruit canned. And surprising how well you can live when you have all those things supplied and know how to handle them, how to take care of them. But I think I was very well fed as a child. There was always plenty of milk. And there was pork. And there was fruit, canned fruit. Apparently I had my vitamins.
Were there other families from Wales that lived in the English settlement, or were most of them from?
Well, they were all apparently right from the same spot on the northeast coast of England. Mm-hmm. In fact, they were from the fishing villages. I don't know why, but I remember them being called heron chasers. There were other families in that neighborhood. They weren't confined to Maple Avenue exclusively, because there were some Bacons on the Horn Road north of Maple Avenue. And there were two or three families to the south of the intersection of Maple and the Horn Road. There was a family by the name of Brigham, for one, B-R-I-G-H-A-M. And Mr. Brigham looked like some of our young people today. He had a heavy beard. And the children were frightened of Mr. Brigham.
Because of his beard?
I remember very well being threatened by my mother. Mr. Brigham would get me if I didn't behave. And then on the Aaron Road, you see, there was another Bacon family related to the Gray family. In fact, Mrs. Height's mother was a Bacon. Mm-hmm. She was Emma Bacon, mm-hmm. married a Gray.
Most of the houses were made of wood.
Entirely wood, yes, with several chimneys, because they probably had a stove in more than one room. Mm-hmm. I know we did. We had, of course, a large iron stove in the kitchen, and then we had one of those beautiful big round oaks, they were called, in the living room, and the pipe went up through the ceiling to warm the bedroom upstairs.
Dorothy, as we continue talking about the English settlement, which is a part of Medina and no longer called the English settlement, and you lived there as a young girl, you and I went for a drive the other day and drove down through there, and there are still some stone walls that border a number of properties. What do you remember about those?
I do remember that there was a stone wall from the corner of our lawn all the way down the road as far as the Heiss family's home is. And then there was another stone wall running north and south, which was a boundary between our 2 acres and our half acre. And there was a, there were stone walls from there leading on into the Aaron Road, where the Bacon family lived. And I would be able to go down to the end of our pasture lot, climb over the fence, over the stone wall rather, and go on over to the Salina Bacon home on Aaron Road. Those stone walls have disappeared. I'm not sure where our stone wall went, but I have a suspicion that my father used that stone for our basement of this house. He cut it.
On Rosalind, this house on
Rosalind Avenue.
You said that there were various sizes of stones used?
Oh, the stone used in the fence was just all sizes. They were practically stone found on the surface of the ground. And they call them hard heads, these round stones that I suppose they were probably deposited by glaciers. There were a great many of them, you see, on the surface, and then they were collected and built into stone fences to divide the properties.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We had another one around at the back of our property, too. In fact, that whole piece of land was bounded by stone fencing, or stone wall. Mm-hmm. And they were apparently built by Mr. Bates.
Did most of the people who lived in the English settlement work in the quarries? What kind of work did they,
were working in the stone. And later they began working over in the foundries, some of them. And then also they began working in S.A. Cook, small factory. In fact, the Watterson boys, Claire and Arthur and Leo, all started working when they were 14 to 16 years old. And they, all three of them, I believe, worked at the S.A. Cook factory. And Arthur Watterson, Thelma Conklin's father, later became superintendent of the new factory on East Avenue, the new S.A. Cook factory. But he is one who started working when he was either 14 or 16 years old.
That was quite common in those days, I believe, that young people worked.
Young people worked and they weren't getting into mischief at night. Their parents knew where they were. They were home asleep because they were exhausted from their day's work.
Yes.
There was practically no crime among our own young people. Mm-hmm. The only crime we had in those days was among the Italian people, and that was confined to their own people. Mm-hmm. They quarreled among themselves, but they never interfered with anyone else.
How about, since your folks were from Wales and this was the English settlement, did you have afternoon tea, or did your parents, do you remember that? Did they have afternoon teas?
Oh, no. My mother used to make scones.
Is that a Scottish
biscuit? I don't know.
I'm thinking it is.
It probably is.
Yes.
But and I've never tried to make them, but I can remember mother making them for tea in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. But we had no occasion. Life was more grim. Mm-hmm. But we always had our tea for our own meals. On Sundays, we used to have coffee.
Just
only on Sundays.
Really? Mm-hmm. Did most of the women stay at home?
Oh,
or did they
all
work?
Of the women stayed at home. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any woman that left her home. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm.
Even if they didn't have children, they stayed at home.
Apparently, but they all had children, I'm saying. You know, that was the thing. You married and you had children. Trying to prevent themselves from having the children after they had thought they had too many.
Yes.
In fact, I could cite two cases like that.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
They would have their own abortions then.
I would imagine so. Yes. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When your father worked in the stone quarry as a young child, did you often go to him and take his lunch to him or lemonade or what?
During the summer in the hot weather, my father was a great lemonade drinker. I've often thought he certainly had a supply of vitamin C. And I used to walk over to a little quarry on the Harn Road, which was just around the corner, really, from our place, very often, and take my father a big pitcher of cold lemonade.
Do you remember the ice wagon delivering ice to keep
yes,
the lemonade
I remember. Cold? I remember our oak
ice box?
I think we had it in the English settlement. I'm not mm-hmm. sure whether we had it there or what did we have after we reached. Mm-hmm. But I know we had an oak refrigerator that loaded from the top mm-hmm. here on Roseland Avenue mm-hmm. for a number of years. And I remember when we bought our first refrigerator, mm-hmm. and that was in the 1930s. Ralph Roberts, an electrician, lived down the street, and he took my mother and father and me and a guest I had from Long Island. We all went to, I think it was to Buffalo, to pick out our refrigerator. He took us up there to...
Mm-hmm. In the English settlement, the number of Polish families kept coming in, didn't they?
They did later, but they've never had really more than two families. The one on the corner of the Harn Road, the Visa family, and then this Nowitzki family. I never knew what became of them. I've never heard anything of that family. I think they drifted to Buffalo. But the same two families, really, are the only ones on Maple Avenue. Mm-hmm. But then as you turned the corner and went up the Aaron Road. Today, you had a great many Polish families, but previous to that, they were all Irish. That's why it was called Paddy Hill.
Oh,
yes, the Irish people settled on that road long before the Polish did. The Irish, as you know, were brought here to work on the Erie Canal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did they get along with the English settlement people?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they did.
They were agreeable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But as they died off, then the Polish people bought those homes, and it became almost entirely a Polish. Mm-hmm. No more Paddy Hill, it was became a Polish street.
Mm.
In fact, Pleasant Street, which is right across from the bridge over here,
mm-hmm.
is supposedly about a main street in Medina at one time. Did you know that?
No.
A friend of mine lives over there, Mary Raymond Jack,
mm-hmm.
and I was talking to her the other day, and she said, well, you know, this was supposed to be Main Street. And her little stone house is practically the first house that was ever built in Medina.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you could talk to her because I think she could tell you some things
mm-hmm.
about.
Maybe I'll be able to work that in. Paddy Hill was for the Irish, and this changed and became Aaron Road, is that right?
No, the official name was always Erin Road.
I see.
But colloquialism.
Yes.
Called it Patty Hill.
Yes. And you said they had their own school?
They had a little white schoolhouse over there. Mm-hmm. I could almost point it out to you. Mm-hmm. And a woman by the name of Miss Dillon mm-hmm. taught in that little white schoolhouse. One room type of schoolhouse.
Was that just for the Irish children?
No, it was whoever lived on that road. And that was in operation when I was over here at Elizabeth School, you see. Mm-hmm. Instead of having those children come to the Elizabeth School, they had their own little school over on the Erin Road.
How about St. Mary's School or the Polish School? Was that going at that time?
I don't think there was any such thing in those days. Mm-hmm. No, I don't believe so. They came into being later. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dorothy, would you tell us what you remember about Camp Nundawaga?
Yes, I can tell you that when Camp Nundawaga was first established, I was a tent leader at first. We would have about six girls in each tent, and with one tent leader besides. And for two or three years I was a tent leader, and then in 1923 I was the camp director. And at that time there were 75 girls at camp. But of course the director of community work was there at the camp at the time we were there. The boys always came for 2 weeks earlier than the girls. And as it happened, they would strike better weather than we had in August. We were more apt to have rainy weather. Besides having these tents, there was a large building which housed the kitchen and was sort of a conference room. And we would go up to that building for our meals, and then if we had any social activities, they took place in that. And during bad weather and rainy days, we would do craft work there. We had a director of the craft work who was one of our teachers, and we made baskets, and we worked with the raffia, and also we did sewing, we did some knitting. We had a first aid class.
This was not part of the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, was it?
I don't think we'd ever heard of Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts at that time. They came to town later, mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. But we had a very fine instruction in the arts. One year when I was a tent leader, I taught the first aid. We would bandage and take care of the girls' ankles and so forth. And at that time, we were fed by a woman who was quite a noted cateress in Medina. And our food was excellent.
Do you remember her name?
Oh, I can remember her, Matey Cook. And at night, we would always have a campfire and circle around the campfire. And Matey Cook would have fresh popcorn for us in large tin basins, and during our meals we would have potato salad with real cream We had delicious food because Mady Cook knows how to, in fact, I have some of her recipes yet. And as time went on, the depression came. And some of our short-sighted fathers sold that campsite, which really was a very sad thing to have happened to the town.
Where was this Camp Nundawaga located, approximately?
It was located on the farm occupied by the name by a family named Teal. I think it's T-E-A-L. We had a lane which ran down to the water, and we were just to the west of the, I believe it's called 30 Mile Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm. This is on Lake Ontario?
On Lake Ontario.
Mm-hmm. And they sold that off.
After they sold it out, after these men of Medina had gone down there and worked and built those floors for those tents, mm-hmm. they built the buildings, they had put in flush toilets, and practically all of that work was done by volunteers, mm-hmm. by prominent men of Medina, and whoever sold up. I don't know. I wasn't here at the time. I don't know who was responsible for it, but they certainly...
Mm-hmm. Well, during the...
They should hang their head in shame. Their descendants should hang their heads in shame.
During Depression,
it's some sort
of a
Bible school or something now.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Well, during Depression times, a lot of things happened.
Yes, but I know, but they could have held on to that. It couldn't have been... They might have paid a little taxes on the property, but there couldn't have been anything else.
Well, someone was frightened and just moved too quickly.
Well, and some smart one that came up, you know, with a let's sell it, I suppose.
This little newspaper that you have here, Community Service Bulletin, will Xerox and put with your, with this interview so that other people can see this. Mm-hmm. And they'll read lots of familiar names of Medina and some
yes.
pictures, and I'm sure nobody will recognize anybody.
In the later years, Mr. Barnes came over here from Canada.
Is David Barnes?
Mr. David Barnes, and he was the community leader. And he worked with the boys for several years before he decided to retire and go into business. And in 1923, Mr. Barnes taught several of us how to wind wires around an oatmeal carton and make a little radio.
Is that right?
In fact, I made one. We were able to get a panel of hardwood, and I had it set up in our dining room, and it operated with a large car battery. So we had a radio in 1923. Built by Mr. Barnes and Dorothy Cox.
Well, that was about when radios first came in, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Was David Barnes, was there a YMCA here at one time? That he was.
There was a way, way back there was a Y. Mm-hmm. Almost before my time. Because some of the slacks, there were two or three slack boys, and they were fairly prominent in that, but they were grown men when I was a small child. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to the YMCA, I don't know.
But David Barnes was not a part of that?
Oh, no, no,
oh,
no. He was
okay.
Definitely community boys.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And community boys were not Boy Scouts, so they were not Boys Brigade?
No, no, okay. No. It was just simply, I wish there was someone who could tell us more about that.
When you said David Bartz went into business, was the furniture business.
Yes.
Right.
After he had been with the boys' community work for a number of years, he finally, I believe, went into partnership with Mr. Hart.
And then he went into the funeral business.
Yes.
Right?
From there he went into the funeral business.
Mm-hmm. Which is
and
now,
they combined. They had to still continue to have the furniture store and the funeral business too.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually Mr. Barnes had that, and then Walt Tuttle went in with him.
He went into business with Mr. Barnes and then apparently bought the business himself eventually. Probably after Mr. Barnes died.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that that funeral home was located
on Pearl Street, and it's a former home of Charles Sweat.
Mm-hmm. And I just recently learned from correspondence with Marshall Loke that in this Charles Sweat garage, which is now the Tuttle Funeral Home, at one time there was a large, on the floor, there was a large, like, Lazy Susan, where they would drive their car in the driveway into the garage, and then if they wanted to go out,
you know what that's called? It's called a turntable.
A turntable, right.
Because they use those on the railroad.
Yes.
The trains, coaches go in, and they're turned around and headed the other
way.
Well,
Mr. Sweat had one in his garage.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah,
but it's a lovely house.
Yes. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yes.
Dorothy, this is about winding up our interview together. And since today is October 21st, we know that election time is fast coming upon us. What do you remember about elections years ago? For instance, the card window.
I remember practically nothing except the large posters people had in their windows with pictures of the candidates. I do remember McKinley, and I do remember Teddy Roosevelt, and it seems to me after McKinley, shortly after McKinley died, there was a picture of the three martyrs. You remember that? Garfield, Lincoln, and McKinley.
Hmm. And those were placed in windows?
I believe they were. It seems to me I've seen them in some, or else I'm just thinking I saw them in the school building or something of that sort. But I do have the very faintest recollection of the return of the veterans from the Spanish-American War. There was a large parade on Main Street, and I was carried by my father to watch that parade.
You said he carried you on his shoulders?
He carried me on his shoulder to watch that parade.
Mm-hmm.
And I also remember, of course, the World's Fair at Buffalo, which was in 1901.
The place where McKinley was shot.
That's the place where McKinley was shot.
You weren't there
I also
day.
Remember, of course, we had newspapers, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
but news did come slowly. I remember exactly where I stood
mm-hmm.
when Alice Neal's father
mm-hmm.
told me that McKinley had been shot.
There'd be Claire Watterson.
Claire Watterson.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he told me. They say we remember incidents if we were highly tense.
Yes.
That those memories will stay with us, and I remember that very.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I remember being in the bank in Roslyn, Long Island, when the news came through that Teddy Roosevelt had died.
Oh, yes.
I remember being right where I stood at the time.
Do you remember the Was there a parade in Medina at the end of World War II?
There could have been, but I wasn't here. Mm-hmm. I was on Long Island.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, Medina has recently celebrated 150 years, and we certainly had a big parade then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We certainly did. We forgot, or I forgot to say that those homes in the English settlement are at least 120 years old, mm-hmm. if not older.
Mm-hmm. A real history with Medina. Well, Mrs. Cox, thank you ever so much for this interview. I appreciate it, and I know that future historians will.
Well, I feel that I've said about half as much as I should have. And after you go home, I'll think of a great many more things I should have said.
Everybody says
the same thing.
Thank you.